Okay, we'll go ahead and tape then. Turn in your Bibles. And if you're hearing God, you'll know where to turn. Thank you. Just thought I'd throw that one in. Amen. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. There's a liberating anointing here this morning. And we're already 45 minutes late starting in the Word just because of the testimonies. We had our miracle healing conference yesterday and had many testimonies come forth from that, from other experiences and things the people have had God show them. So we've already had a fun time this morning in church. And now you're joining us by video. We're going to get into the official Word, which is really a shifted official Word. I had a message for this morning, but as I was getting ready, I was asking God for additional revelation to teach the church. And this came to me. And so I want to teach what I got this morning. We'd been talking about intercession. Remember the intercession? The walls and the gates and the towers. And this really is an addendum somewhat to that. Are you in Acts chapter 1? Let me get what verse. Go to verse number 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem. Now Jesus has just appeared to them, right? He's told them to go wait for the power on high, that they would be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days hence. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from out the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James, and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer. Say one accord. And supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. You know, that had to be interesting, being in an upper room. With, we don't know how many people they started with. We know they ended up after 7 days. Or was it 10 days? 10 days with 120, right? And but the mother of Jesus was in the room with them. Wouldn't that have been wild? Her son has just been crucified and raised from the dead. Don't you know she's beaming about now? I mean, here's the woman that had been accused of being a harlot, not a harlot, but, you know, a cheater, unfaithful, having a son who was illegitimate. And now she's been totally vindicated with those that know. Oh, glory to God. Talk about a life reversal right there. And so it says they continued in one accord with prayer and supplication. Go over to Acts chapter 2. Verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord, there it is again, in one place. Now suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues. Here we have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. This was the birthing day of the church. They've been born again already 50 days earlier on Resurrection Day. This is 50 days after the first Sabbath after Pentecost. So they had been born again already for almost 2 months. But now God bursts them, fills them with the Holy Ghost to birth the church. And it says they started off praying in one accord. On the day of Pentecost, there were still 120 in one accord. That's not a small Honda. It means they were in agreement. There was no strife amongst them. No competition. No undercutting, backbiting. You follow me? Mocking each other. One accord means each person upholding one another, supporting one another, guarding one another, protecting one another. You know, we've got a few veterans today, and Mr. Soulsby's taught us about, he's spoken about walking across Europe under Patton, right? During World War II. And they teach you in the military how to be a unit of one accord. You guard each other. You know, BJ's a veteran, some of you others. You guard each other. You watch for people trying to penetrate. You refuse to attack each other. I mean, you might razz each other some like we do in here, but you don't try to take each other down. You're trying to elevate each other to, because as a unit, you can do more than a bunch of single individuals, right? So here we see they're in one accord, and on the precise day, the Spirit of God is poured out. Now, you guys have heard this vision many times from me in here. About 1989 or 90, I had a vision. It was the first real big vision I'd ever had, and still is the predominant one I've ever had. We were meeting for intercessory prayer from 6 to 7 o'clock. Apostle Callahan, Pastor Callahan at the time, had said, we're going to start praying in the morning. God's going to teach us to pray. And we would pray from 6 to 7 every morning, Monday through Friday. Actually, we started out just Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. But within a few weeks, we went to every day. And so I think it was still maybe the Monday, Wednesday, Friday. We had just started. And maybe gone a week or two. And everybody had been hearing God. I mean, we'd get up after, we'd have a time of sharing after every prayer time. And, well, God told me this and God told me that. And I'd think, God didn't tell me nothing. I didn't see anything. And I was hearing God, but didn't realize, you know, most of it was about me. And so this day I said, I'm going to hear God. So instead of walking through the pews, which I normally did, which almost everybody did, I said, I'm going to lay on this pew here. I think it was on the second row. And I laid on the pew and I said, I'm not getting off this pew till you show me something to God. And when I laid on the pew, I started seeing some clutter. I remember like 2 half gallons of ice cream go by. One was vanilla, one was chocolate. Tell me that wasn't a temptation trying to get me out of the place. But in my heart, I knew that was not from God. That was clutter. And all of a sudden, a movie screen opened up. I mean, it's like I'm watching a panoramic, full 3D Technicolor CinemaScope surround sound movie. Although I didn't hear anything. And in the vision, there's a semicircle of people. Fairly good sized. I'd say, you know, 50 foot diameter, something like that. And in the center of the semicircle was a little building. You know the little sheds you put out back of your house to put your lawnmower and stuff in? It was like that. Nothing fancy about it, nothing gilded. I mean, just a little shed-like. And all the people standing there, I knew immediately they were all intercessors. And I also knew they were in covenant. They were in one accord. I didn't know much about what covenant was. I don't know if I knew what covenant was, but I knew they were in covenant. There was no strife. And, all of a sudden, the door opens on this shed, and out rides Jesus on a red and white horse. Now, red and white is both purity and warfare. And he rides out, and he rides over to this side. The first intercessor is over here. And he rides up, and he rides between the two, right up to them. He looks down at the intercessors and he nods. And I knew he was approving of that intercessor. You've passed personal inspection. Then he rode to the second one and he stopped and he gazed and he nodded. You're approved. Next thing I know, I'm clear around, and I didn't have to see each one, but I knew he'd gone to every one. And now he's to the last one. And he looks at this last one, and he nods, "You're approved." And I knew every single one had been approved. And I knew, I didn't find out till later what the "you're approved" meant, because I didn't have the revelation at the time. But later, when I heard the teaching of righteousness, that you've been made the righteous of God in Christ Jesus, because of you're approved of God, I knew this people. I later discovered this people also knew who they were in Christ. They were the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. So they were intercessors, meaning they had a prayer life. They knew who they were in Christ, and they were in one accord. No competition among them. Amen. And all of a sudden, once that last intercessor's approved, I'm pulled back. See the water tower outside? I'm pulled back this distance away. And what I thought were the intercessors and Jesus on the flat ground were actually on this raised tower with the top half of the water tower cut off. And they're up on that. And I can't even see them from this distance, but I know that's where they are. And all of a sudden, the bottom parts of the water tower slide up. They come around and form a dome, and now it's a water tower. The exact distance and perspective and identical shape to that one. Identical. That I saw that 30 years ago in precision. And when the tops of the water tower come together, it didn't pause, it didn't hold, it went like this. It went like that, came back down. And now these sides slid under again, and now where the platform was, where the intercessors were with Jesus, is a brilliant city shining with the crystal clear glory of God. And did you ever see The Wizard of Oz, where they show the Emerald City for the first time? It looked like the Emerald City, but with many more skyscrapers and buildings. And instead of glowing green, it glowed pure crystal white light. I wouldn't call it white light. It was just crystal-like brilliance coming off of it. And, of course, I sought God on that, and he was letting me know, wherever people in the end times will get together and become intercessors, they'll pray, know who they are in Christ, they'll get in one accord, I'm going to raise up a city of glory in the end times. And when I came to Georgetown, that water tower on the other side of town was right outside the window I birthed the church in. When I came over here, they immediately built that one out front of our windows there. Wasn't there when we moved in. It was there right after we moved in, they built it. Just for us, right straight out our front doors. So God intends to bring to Georgetown his glory, if his people will follow him in pursuing the glory. Amen. And of course, I believe God's going to raise up somebody to bring it. I'm believing it's us. I believe we have the opportunity. I think we're tasting of it this morning. But the key I want to look at this morning is the one accord. I have never been in a church like this one. Well, Lexington, other Grace churches are the same. I should say a ministry. Because in this ministry, there is no competition. You know, yesterday we had Pastor Jim, Pastor Sherry, Apostle Callan. There's no competition. Oh, let them fall flat on their face so I look good. Nobody wanting anybody else's position. There's no competition over here. Well, they gave a word. Maybe I should give a word. Well, their word was better than my word. It's none of that. Nobody's trying to take somebody else's position away. Nobody's lining up to want to fill Pastor Rebecca's slot, which is extreme wisdom on your behalf, I must say. Everybody flows in harmony. There's a supernatural love here, not the full-blown agape glory love, but there's a love here where you just want the best for everybody. This is a church, listen to me, this is a church of one accord. Now follow me on this. If God birthed the church through a body of Christ in one accord, how do you think he's going to finish this thing with the glory? How do you think he's going to bring his glorious bride into manifestation? That he puts one accord in here at the outset of their seeking him and on the day of Pentecost, he intends to finish it with a church of one accord, full of intercessors, not competing to be seen, but just wanting the will of God manifested, wanting the best for the people in the body of Christ. God is raising up a one accord church in these end times. And I don't know if it's ever been as real to me as it is this morning. This is a one accord church. Now, I've said it before, this is a church of no strife, no competition, right? But this morning, there's like an anointing that's making it so real how special this is. Because it is a rarity in Christianity. Everybody here, God's weeded out the pretenders. He's driven off the wolves and the goats. Aim, not the more won't try to come in. But there's none here today. You can breathe a sigh of relief. You're not a wolf or a goat. You may not know some things, but you're not here trying to destroy the church. We're a church of one accord. Go over to verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11. Now this is after people are saying they're drunk, they're crazy. Peter standing up with the 11, all 12 standing up together in unity, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "You men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day." Glory to God. Did I write down the wrong verse? That's still a good one. Hang on a minute. How did I get that wrong? See, even though I've got the wrong verse, you still love me. All right. Go to verse number 43. I don't know how I turn this number into 14. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all the believed were together. Do you see the word together? That means they're gathering together. They are not forsaking the assembling themselves together. But it also, I believe, represents there's no division. And had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man had need. They're looking out for each other. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now here we see actually, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people got saved. 120 in one accord, 3,000 get saved. Now they're praying daily in one accord, as it says here. And after 1 week, another 5,000 are saved. That's 8,000 souls added to the kingdom in 1 week through 120 being in unity. I'm telling you, God's going to do something with the one accord church in the end times. In fact, he's going to raise up one accord churches to carry the glory of God to bring in the harvest. But the one accord, how can I say, precedes the harvest. I'm so glad to be connected to a people that are together. Now, you may not feel like you have it all together, but you're together. Amy, let's count our blessings where we can, right? You may not feel like you have it all together. You may feel like you're falling apart sometimes, but because you're not in strife or division or jealousy or envy or trying to tear things apart. You're together. Glory to God. And God will put the rest together as well. Amen. We've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You have it all together. It says, verse 46, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. Did you notice here they're breaking bread together? What does that mean? It's fellowship. They're eating together. That's why when we meet together on Friday nights, we'll spend the first half hour fellowshipping, breaking bread. You just got pepperoni on it and some cheese, sauce, but we're breaking bread. You want to hear somebody really, really missing God, yet we still love them? Last week, Friday night, not this last Friday, the week before, we held all-night prayer. I specifically didn't eat anything because I knew I was going to get pizza when I got to church. And Casey, after two straight years of bringing pizza every Friday night, didn't. He came in with something like carrot sticks or something like that. I don't know what it was. What are you doing here? Bind that up. Had to eat a little Debbie instead. They're fellowshipping. That's why Sunday nights, we come together at 6 o'clock Sunday nights. We'll fellowship till 6:30 with the breaking of bread. Sometimes pizza, sometimes, you know, usually Casey has the pizza and China has the Fig Newtons. Amen. The generic version. Amen. Save a lot, Fig Newtons. If you put whipped cream on them, they're still good. Amen. Connie brings the pork rinds and the cream cheese. That's her gift. And so we fellowship because in the fellowshipping, there's a knitting together of hearts. There's God bringing one accord in the manifestation. And that's why, you know, even in the mornings in church here, when we take our little break in between praise and worship and the Word, we extend it a bit to give you a chance to link up because God's looking for this one accord church. And you know what blesses me? It blesses me when after services, but you say, let's go out and eat together. How about we get together at my house here this week? How about we get involved in this activity together? I love that. Because it's fusing us together. And God's going to take the fused church that knows who they are in Christ, that's praying, and bring forth His glory. The one accord is so important as an aspect, as a variable in God's formula, manifest the glory. Remember yesterday's teaching? God's got constants and variables He's putting together as a divine formula to produce all that He's after. And one of the aspects He's looking for is the one accord. Go over to Acts chapter 4. Verse 23. Now here we have Peter and John have been beaten. And it says, verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. Did they get beaten? I'm questioning myself. Maybe that was later. Said unto them, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. Now they're praying in unity. Do you see that? They're praying prayers of agreement and said, Lord, Thou art God which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of Thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? There's the very verse out of Psalm 2 I quoted a while ago. Now they're raising up their voice and praying prayers of agreement in one accord. Look at Matthew chapter 18. Don't you love the word? I'm not going to keep you much longer today. At least that's my target. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 18, look at verse number 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Here we see a spiritual principle. If two or three will gather together, God's there. And whatever they ask in agreement, God will do it. Now let me take just a step back and share with you some history of God's dealing with mankind. When God created man, He made him right male and female. And He said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Fill the earth with people like you. And because they were made in God's image, God's plan has always been to create or fill the earth with a people of unity. A people of no division. His people that would not just be one with Him, but one with one another. Now we're not going to turn there, but in John chapter 17, Jesus says, I don't pray just for, He was talking to the Father. Father, I'm not just praying for these alone, but also all those that hear their word. Which would be us. We hear the word, right? That they may be one, even as I am one with you, Father. They may be one with us, and basically one with one another. God's always been looking for a people bound together that become one. We would become, as the church, we're assigned to become one as the body of Christ. This one accord thing was never meant to be optional. This one accord thing is like the one of the most vital ingredients of God's manifesting the glory. You know, I'm thinking about making biscuits or making cake. How about making a cake? You're going to make a cake, and so you have all the ingredients. And you have, you know, the flour and the baking soda and the flavoring and the eggs and all. And you mix it all together, and you realize, I forgot the sugar. You make the cake without the sugar. You know what they call that? Flavored bread. It's not cake. Amen. Cake, good. Flavored bread, we don't know. But it's not going to be the same as cake, right? You know what you call donuts without sugar? Bagels. Of course, the bagels are boiled, right? Bagels and donuts. Good. Of course, we know sugar is not really good for you, but it does make a difference between a bagel and a donut, right? The unity is like leaving the sugar out of your cake or donut recipe. It's not going to be the same. It's not going to produce what you're after. And so, the one accord which we have, and we will protect. Amen? People come in here trash talking, trying to start fires, we snuff it out. Remember the fire extinguishers. They try to start trash talking, we just stick the fire extinguisher hose in their mouth and go, Thursday night, I have some whipped cream that's left over that's we've upgraded with fresher stuff. And so I gave a can of whipped cream, almost a whole can, to little RJ, 5 years old. His dad taught him how to do it. It's coming out of his mouth. I think it came out of his nose a few times, amen. Well, that's what we do with trash talkers, but we use, you know, doesn't taste good. Because God's going to protect this one accord in here. He's going to point out the fakers. Amen. Those just looking for a position. Those that are looking for a microphone or a spotlight. Because God's not into that. He's looking for people that have a pure heart to want to raise up the kingdom. So this aspect about church unity was never meant to be optional. Amen. That's why we're not, well, I may go there before we're done. I've already gone longer than I thought it would. God's going to protect this unity. It's a vital ingredient of what we're doing. Look at Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. Now, it's funny how God did this. I shouldn't say funny. It's interesting. At the birthing of the church, one of the first things that happened is two people came into the church and lied about their offerings. They said they sold a piece of land, they brought all the money to the church, and it was only part of the money. Now, was God concerned about them bringing all the money or not? No. Peter said, hey, the money was yours. You could have done with it what you wanted to. But what you've done is you come in and lied in the house of God. And they both dropped dead. So, that will get your attention to be in one accord. And it says nobody else wanted to join to them other than those that were serious about totally connecting. Because they didn't want to drop dead. Prophet Bobby Connor, we watched his video here a week and a half ago. He said if that ever returned back to the church where people drop dead for lying in a church, the number one job you want to have is undertaker. There'd be people dropping dead left and right. But here we see again, miracles are taking place, but they're in one accord. See, when you come together, we've talked about the intercessory covering over the church. That when you come together in a covenant church, the Holy Spirit will orchestrate an intercessory covering over every person's life. It'll protect you from most of the attacks of the enemy. It has the same effect with amplifying the anointing on that church. You want to be in a one accord church because the anointing then is able to interconnect and amplify because two or more in agreement. I mean, in many Christian circles, you have trouble finding two or three that are really in agreement. But here we all are. We all want the same thing. We're all sold out to the same level. We're all wanting the move of God. We all want God's plans fulfilled in each person's lives. And we're not concerned about what we're getting out of it. We're concerned about what God's getting out of it. Right? Nobody's trying to use anybody else. No spiritual leeches in the house. Just wanting to drain everybody else. And God's using that to amplify the anointing. And apparently this morning before service, before we turned on the video, God was amplifying the preaching anointing. Amen. Acts chapter 15. Are you there? Did I write down the wrong verse again? I did this early this morning. Oh, no, I just read it wrong. Go to verse number I don't want to read this whole passage. There were questions in the church. And so Paul went to Jerusalem and spoke with the elders, and they wrote a letter back to Antioch and gave them answer. And verse 24 says, "For as much as we have heard, the certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment." Jerusalem saying, we have not commanded anybody to be circumcised once they're saved. Yet there were Judaizers coming in telling the Gentile Christians that was necessary. Did you follow that? That's a very quick synopsis. Verse 25. "It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul." The disciples, when they came together to make the decision about the future of the church, they were with one accord. You know what amazes me right now? How so many prophets, true prophets in the church, are in one accord in what they're declaring. That God's about to bring a mighty move on the earth to manifest His glory. One accord. Get ready for the greatest move of God that's ever taken place on earth. You're going to be right in the middle of it. And stuff like little physical issues, I don't care how big it may seem to you right now, but it's a little issue to God, are going to be wiped away. The glory fixes everything. And then look at Philippians chapter 2. Verse 1, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus," who basically went to the cross on our behalf. Here, part of Paul's writing to the churches, to the church at Philippi, was make sure you protect your unity. Covenant unity is a vital facet to go where we want to go. And so many times we can get personally focused on what we want to get accomplished and run over people in the way. But not in the end time church. We're all going together. When we do the Chariots of Light motorcycle rides, they have this huge chase trailer. I don't know how many NASCARs you could fit on that thing. Huge chase trailer to carry extra motorcycles, the luggage, everything else. And it always comes last behind all the bikes. And they say, you ride your ride. If you're a good rider, you can ride fast. You're not as comfortable, as not as confident. Ride slow. Ride your ride. But the chase trailer's following everybody. Nobody's going to be left behind. It doesn't matter how slow you ride, the chase trailer's not going to pass you. Now, if you turn off and go your own way, see you bye. But if you stay on the ride, on the route, if you break down, they're going to pick you up. If you're slow, they're going to wait on you. They're going to get you where you need to go. Same thing is true in the church of God. Walk your walk with God. Don't worry about what other people are doing. Just maintain the unity and the peace and the desire to be edifying to one another. and we're all going to get there together. Amen. Well, they're going faster than I am. Just stay on the path. We'll get there together. Well, some people are just so spiritual, I won't make it. Hey, let them run their fast race. But God's got a chase trailer following us. We're all going together. We're all going to the glory. You know, don't be concerned about somebody that seems to be so much more spiritual than you. I hadn't intended to say this, but here we go, because I know what happens. Well, they just seem to know so much scripture, and they seem to be praying for people and things are happening. Nothing's happened like that in my life, and I don't seem spiritual enough. And listen, we're the body of Christ. And if the shoulders manifest the glory, it's coming on the whole body. You follow me? You know, my left hand doesn't get upset because my right hand grabs a donut. We're all going to get the effects of it. That sugar rush is coming. We're all going in as we stay in one accord and we pursue the things of God. And God, listen, God didn't give me that vision with every aspect of it being in our church today, including the vision of the tower out front, that he wasn't going to do it. Now, again, it's been about 10 years ago that we were in a prayer meeting, and I had the vision of the railroad tracks going out the front window into a cloud of glory. God said, you're on track to go into the glory. Don't get distracted. We've not been. You know why? Because we're on one accord now more than ever. Intercession is manifesting the power of God as much as ever before. Amen. The glory is here this morning. We're going in. Well, listen, I'm going to let you go from that this morning. Protect your unity. Keep your heart pure before God. Amen. Let's pray in this glory. You start by being here at 6 o'clock tonight, right? Bring a snack. Father, we thank you in this church. There are none sick, none in lack, none oppressed, none depressed, none in strife, none in unforgiveness. We speak peace, protection, and strength to each one here. We thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.